But we started already, have we? No time for jokes. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
How beautiful is it to have some relief from that hot weather? And woke up this morning, quite a few times actually, and experienced that cool southerly breeze. What refreshing breeze that is. And it reminded me of that penultimate song we've just sang, Pour Your Spirit Out. What a beautiful worship song that is. And how the breath of the Holy Spirit can pour over one's soul and refresh the spirit, our spirit. How refreshing, to say it again, that can be. Let's just open in some prayer, please. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, O Lord. We recognize you to be the originator and author of love. Whichever form it comes in, whether it be merciful, brotherly, romantic, and of course, tough love. Help me today, Holy Spirit, to convey accurately your message. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So if you've gathered, given our theme of love, we've been following recently, I thought I'd offer one on the subject of tough love. Some might say I'd be the obvious candidate to deliver it. I'm sure my boys there will testify to that. I want to begin with a phrase. This is going to hurt me more than it'll hurt you. That's a chestnut, isn't it? We've all probably heard it before when somebody's about to administer some tough love. So what does the phrase tough love mean? Well, a cursory internet search suggests tough love is an expression that is generally thought of a disciplinary measure where someone is treated rather sternly with the intention of helping him or her out in the long run. And I believe the Bible has much to say on the subject, especially from the books of Proverbs and in the New Testament, Hebrews. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. Another way to describe it from the New Testament, this time in Ephesians, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds up in love as each part does its work. Always in love being the key here. Pastor Warren Wendell Wiersbe, known in the States as the pastor's pastor and the pastor of the D.L. Moody Church in Chicago in the 70s, is quoted as saying, truth without love is brutality, whilst love without truth is hypocrisy. Truth without love is brutality, whilst love without truth is hypocrisy. When King David, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, depending on how one reads it, either he had consensual sex with Bathsheba, or he raped her. Either way, he put a mafia-style hit on her husband. And when he did this, God's love didn't just vanish, but through God's prophet Nathan, God administered some tough love. He rebuked King David. I would add, he rebuked him quite strongly, and then led, and which then led to his acknowledgement of guilt, and then eventually his repentance, basically. Another example, a little closer to home. Now, you all know that I'm a father of two fine young men, both here in attendance, to which it is a great honor to me, boys. Thank you very much. I'm also a stepfather to another two fine young men, each of them a gift from my Heavenly Father. I love them all, but I don't love them the same. The four of them are unique individuals. I love each one in a way fitting to who they are. About 8 years ago, when Wenz and I were first married, we had occasion that all of us lived together in our little home. And with about a 10-year gap between the two pairs of brothers, David and Tim in their late teens, and Tom and Curtis, both early pre-teens, it was a challenge sometimes as newlyweds. But we loved them each, nevertheless, differently, as you'd expect. Think of the father of the prodigal son. He loved them both. He loved the one who stayed, and he loved the one who strayed. But he loved them differently, uniquely, in the way they needed to be. The older brother thought, incorrectly, that his younger brother was competing for the father's affection. He assumed, incorrectly, that he deserved more of it. Seemed to him that Dad was playing favorites and giving all his love to his younger brother. But the father reminded him that while each one is loved, he loved them differently. And with a mild rebuke, corrected the older brother. We don't know if this led to his acknowledgement of guilt and repentance, but we hope so. The same way with our little family group at the time. My elder stepsons, when tensions arose in our little home and our new marriage came under mild attack, I did administer some tough love and encouraged one or both of them to leave. As my dear friend Darrow said at the time, don't rob them of valuable life experiences. And he was right. A mild dose of tough love administered was the correct thing to do at the time. So just as there is time for compassionate love, so there is also time for tough love, as well as every other type of love in between. Imperfect as my love is, however, I strive to love fully and uniquely the children God gifted me. Now, as a father, I am merely an imitation. Our Heavenly Father is the real deal, and He knows how to love perfectly and uniquely. When parents choose to discipline their children, even when it's inconvenient or hurts them to have their child suffer negative consequences, that is tough love. Equally, though, it is tough love for a parent to, at times, choose not to intervene or to rescue a child from negative consequences. You see, apart from love, discipline is selfish and can lead to neglect and even abuse. In love, with God's wisdom, proper discipline can help train a child in the ways of God and hopefully lead to better things. Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained in it." Tough love occurs in adult relationships too. Have you ever had to confront a friend or a partner about a sin or harmful behavior in their life? Those who have experienced this from either side know how unpleasant this can be. But we should do it, and do it in love, with wisdom, because we want to see our friends set free from the bond of sin. If we do it without love, then we are being judgmental, as Matthew 7 might suggest. But when we do it in love, we are fulfilling our Christian duties, as in Galatians 6, verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Tough love occurs in families also. Have you ever had to impose boundaries, or wanted to, with a difficult family or a difficult family member? Maybe around Christmas time, when somebody's had too much to drink. That is tough love. Our love is founded in God's love, and therefore should look like it. John 13, "A new covenant I give you. Love one another as I have loved you." So you must love one another. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And back to Hebrews 12 again. We experience God's love through verses 5 and 8. "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father?" Or rather, as a father addresses his son. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as a discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father?" God's tough love is hard to receive. But let's be encouraged by these verses and consider it pure joy. As Brenton reminded me on Tuesday, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Tough love is just that. Tough. It's tough to give, and it's tough to receive. But when we acknowledge the serious and eternal implications of our choices, we will understand why tough love is so important. We are engaging in a spiritual battle, and Satan, our adversary, is prowling around like a lion waiting to devour us. So be sober and resist him. And of course, we don't do this alone. We have the love of our Heavenly Father. We have Jesus as an example, and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And of course, the community of believers, you all here today, to help us. So let's give tough love to one another as a means of encouragement and mutual edification. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. It's Hebrews 10. So let me close with this. In some ways, I reckon it's the most difficult application. Outside those doors of this church and the family of believers, the ultimate tough love is telling someone that without Jesus, their destination is hell. Eternal separation from God may not be culturally acceptable, or you may feel embarrassed or ashamed to share the gospel, but we must consider that their eternity hangs in the balance. Love can be utterly tough, but it's God's call to his people. So let me draw your attention to that phrase I shared at the beginning. This is going to hurt me more than it'll hurt you. I've shared plenty of communion messages with you, and shared beautifully this morning about the brutality of the cross. Just put it in this perspective. And this time, just imagine God saying this to you and me and the whole of mankind. Imagine God the Father with tears of agonizing sorrow in his eyes, pouring out his infinite wrath upon his beloved Son. Imagine Jesus, God incarnate, hanging on that cross, enduring infinite agonies of hellish pain in our place. And of course, the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal to the Father and the Son. Imagine him like a grieving mother holding a dying child, helping and encouraging and strengthening this willing servant, Jesus, as he marches forward, as it were, into hell itself. This is going to hurt me more than it'll hurt you. I don't think there could ever be a truer statement ever made than that. Take as long as you need to ponder. Give thanks and sing glorious praise to our awesome God for his tough love. Thank you.